Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. So John the Baptist made quite a name for himself, not intentionally. He was simply going out there and doing what God had told him to do, to preach repentance, to baptize. But part of the reason he got some attention was because of the names he used to describe people. He called them a brood of vipers, and this didn't go well with a lot of people. Didn't go well, for example, with Herod Antipas, who ruled in Perea and Galilee. We don't know exactly how it took place, but it's possible that Herod Antipas actually went to the Jordan River to hear John preach. Maybe he even had thoughts for the sake of show of being baptized by John. Whatever the case, Herod heard from John that he was guilty of adultery and that he needed to repent and bring forth the proper fruits of repentance. Both Herod and especially his wife, Herodias, took great offense at this public ridicule. And so they would not tolerate this reproach from John. And so John was thrown into prison and later beheaded. Again, John was making quite a name for himself, unintentionally. He was simply fulfilling the role, the unique role that God had given him. People either loved him or hated him, respected him or disdained him, believed him or rejected him. But because he was so popular, the question naturally arose among the people, who are you? Are you possibly, or are you claiming to be the Messiah that we Jews have been waiting for centuries? And John's answer was no. I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me very soon is far beyond me. He has a power within him that I don't even come close to matching. He is so far above and beyond me that I don't even deserve to be the lowliest of servants, even untying his shoelaces from his sandals so he can go into a house. He will baptize you with God the Holy Spirit and with fire. So what does that mean? Well, John explains. His winnowing shovel is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with fire that never goes out. Back in those days, farmers would make a very hard surface called the threshing floor. Think of cement. The farmers would throw their sheaves of grain or their stalks of grain on this threshing floor and then go over it with a heavy threshing sled pulled by a donkey or an ox. And this would remove the husks or the chaff from the wheat grains. But they were still mixed together. And all they wanted was the grain in order to make bread. The chaff was useless. So they used a winnowing shovel, and they would shovel up both the chaff and the grain together. And then they would throw it up in the air, especially if there was a little wind, and the wind would blow away the chaff. But the grain, the wheat, which was heavier, would fall pretty much straight to the ground. And then the farmer would gather up that grain, that wheat, and put it into his barn so they could make bread throughout the year. But the chaff was good for nothing. It they would sometimes burn it. So the good wheat represents those who are coming repenting, are baptized, and produce the fruits of repentance on a daily basis. The coming Christ will baptize them with the Holy Spirit. The chaff, on the other hand, are those who do not repent, the evidence being no fruit of repentance. They will be baptized with fire, a fire that never goes out. So, everybody that comes to John is a sinner. Everyone. But there's two kinds of sinners: those who repent and those who do not. And those who repent are offered baptism, for it was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then comes verse 21. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. Now, this is very odd. A sinless man goes into a baptism that is only supposed to be for sinful men. It is very strange. We even read in Matthew's account that John tried to prevent Jesus from being baptized, but Jesus told him, "Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John allowed him to be baptized. But the question still is, why? Why would a non-sinner come to a baptism for sinners? Now, we see several things in our text. First, the Holy Spirit would come upon Jesus in his baptism. The third person of the triune God and his power would come upon Jesus, which would be of great benefit to Jesus in what would soon follow. Second, there is the voice: "You are my beloved Son." A great comfort to Jesus, knowing that God the Father loved him. Again, something that would benefit Jesus as he went on from there. You know, you think about it, children who do not hear from their earthly father that he loves them don't do as well as those who hear from their earthly father, "Son, I love you. Daughter, I love you." Those words are important. So there was this comfort for Jesus, but the comfort is not for Jesus alone. It is also for you. When you realize that the one who is more precious to God than anyone is put on the cross to suffer for you, to die for you, his only beloved Son, this is proof of God's great love for you, a sinner. Giving up your only beloved Son for me? Yeah. Wow. So think about that the next time you are in the depths of despair, or you think that God is unfair to you, or when you have doubts whether God really loves you. As Paul said, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ, the Son of God, the beloved of God, died for us. But there's this other phrase that's important as well in our text too. He says, "With you I am well pleased." God is never well pleased with sin. A sinner never pleases God. And so these words are confirming that this human Jesus, who is also the Son of God, is not a sinner. A sinlessness which would benefit him again in the days ahead. By the way, did you take notice here that in this text we have all three persons of the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? I'll come back to that in a little bit. I want to mention one more important thing about Jesus' baptism. This is the anointing of Jesus to begin his public work, his ministry, his service as the Messiah, his servanthood as the Christ now begins. Think of it this way. It's like Jesus has been in the starting gate of a horse race up until this point. The baptism is when the starting gate flies open and he's off to the races. He leaves the gate with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's power. He's off to the races, assured of the Father's love for him. He's out of the starting gate with no sin. So where's he going? Obviously, he's not basking in the forgiveness of his sins because he had none. He is not saying goodbye to his sin. Instead, as he comes out of his baptism, he runs headfirst into sin to deal with sin. Immediately after his baptism, he runs into sin head on, right out of the gate. He is led by the Holy Spirit to meet sin in the person and the temptation of the devil. One cannot be confronted with sin any more than this. And so the devil says to him, "You think you're pretty hot stuff, Jesus. I'm going to prove you wrong. I've dealt with your kind before. I was successful in getting Adam and Eve to sin, and I'll do the same to you." But Jesus, the beloved Son, the perfect man, did not fall. He went head to head with the devil and sin, and he won. He was sinless, and he maintains that sinlessness so his Father would continue to be well pleased with him. In fact, not long before his death at the Transfiguration, the Father again says the same exact thing about Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Sin had not crept in like it does with you. Sin had not taken hold of him like it has with you. Sin was not found in him like it is found in you. And your pastor, every day, I find sin in here. I see that it has crept in. And there are times when it seems to have a pretty good grip. But not Jesus. He beat it. And he did so for us. But Jesus would still have to meet sin head on in one more way. And this time it would not be the sin the devil was tempting him to perform and commit. The sin he had to meet head on and deal with and beat and conquer was yours. You would pay the price for it. And that meant the cross. Jesus, at his baptism, was anointed to go and deal with sin. The one on whom the Holy Spirit came to empower, the one who God called his beloved Son, the one with whom God was and remained well pleased. The devil would not beat him. Sin would not win out over him. And even death in the end would not win. And you and I follow the example of Christ. We also are baptized. In fact, we are commanded to be baptized. His baptism brings to you, in your baptism, what his baptism brought him. Let me say that again. Okay, listen. His baptism brings to you in your baptism what his baptism brought him. Who comes to you in your baptism? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What does God say to you in your baptism? He says you, like his son, are his own dear, beloved child. What else does he say to you in your baptism? God says to you, like he said to Jesus, with you I am well pleased. And he is well pleased with you because Jesus conquered your sin. He beat it. He stomped on it. He trampled it down. He paid for it. And what does God give you in your baptism? Like Jesus, God gives you the Holy Spirit. In the words of Paul, he gives you the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Why? So you can walk out these doors and take on the world and sin and the devil and all that they throw at you. You can meet them head on. You will find sin. You will be afflicted. You will experience dark and terrible days like Jesus. But they will not master you. They will not conquer you. As Paul says, we were buried with Christ by baptism into death, that just as he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Christ was baptized and he won. You, as you remain faithful Christians, are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and you will win. Amen.